thank you so much for being here today as we have just walked through the entire chapter of Romans chapter 8. It is the conclusion of the Repaired mini-series here at Solace Church, and the chapter is so incredible, and I so love the words of hope found within that chapter. If you're a guest visiting with us today, thank you for being here at Solace Church. You've come to the end, as I said, of this mini-series we're in called Rome the Mini-Series, and we're talking about what life looks like inside of a relationship with God. And I can't wait to share with you some of the things I feel like God's laid on my heart today to talk to you about as we conclude this series in Romans chapter 8. Just as a word of note, as we think about this whole book of Romans that Paul wrote, we're going to pick this conversation back up in a couple of weeks. We're taking a week off next week. We're going to pick the conversation back up in a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about what it means to be chosen. Church, if God has done the salvation work in us, then we must know why he's accomplished that. What's the purpose of that? And we're going to learn that as this series continues. So I hope you'll be here with us as we continue on. Also, we want to say thank you for those watching online at solacechurch.com. Thank you for being a part of our online community today. So here we are, end of the Romans mini-series called Repaired. If you are new today, or this is the first time you've been here in a while, please know you can always go online to solacechurch.com and listen to a previous message. This whole series is available at solacechurch.com. And so today, you've heard the text already during our time of worship. I want to share with you this morning what it means to do life in the Spirit, as Paul shows us in Romans chapter 8. To understand Romans chapter 8, church, we need to connect a couple of dots. Remember, Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 all go together. They're not broken up in the letter written to the Roman churches. It's all together. And it's a continuous thought. Remember the thought. Jesus has done so much for us through his death on the cross. He's allowed us to be justified, to be credited as righteous, to be reconciled to God, to have hope in suffering, and so much more. What God has done in us in the repair process is incredible. And as a result of that, Paul, says, what shall we do in light of this? Shall we continue to sin so that God's grace can continue to be evident in our life? Of course not. That was Romans chapter 6. We died to sin. We can't live in it any longer. But then Paul brings us in Romans chapter 7 to this reality that even though we are in our identity dead to sin, we actually do practically still sin. And there's a reason that we still sin. The reason is because even though we are freed from our sin nature, the sin nature still is present in our life so long as we're here on this earth. And so when we sin, what's going on in Paul's terminology is it's no longer myself in my new identity in Christ, but it's rather the old me creeping back in. And Paul makes this distinguishing fact. He says, it is no longer I who sin, but sin living in me. Remember, if you were here last week, that the important part of understanding who I am in Christ is understanding this identity feature or key, that I am a new creation in Christ, even though I still sin. Now, one of the things that Paul recognizes that happens in the life of a believer when they sin after salvation is there's a tendency to want to recondemn ourselves, to make us feel guilty all over again and full of shame and regret. And Paul says, and he just says it this way, what a wretched man I am. Who can rescue me from this body of death? If you were here last week, you know the answer to that question is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the answer to our condemnation and our self-condemning nature, right? He says the answer is in Christ. So remember, chapter 8 is a continuation of that thought. Paul says, so I find myself, I still sin, but I'm a slave to God's law. I want to do what's right. All right, so with that context, Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 8 a couple of things. I'm not going to read to you the text because we've heard most of it. I'll read some of it at the end. But Paul goes on to say, with this understanding that Jesus is my Redeemer and the one who rescues me, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. One of the great things that God gives us in Christ is the ability to stand not condemned before the Father. Our identity is no condemnation. every time we're tempted to fall back into the pattern of shame, regret, guilt, self-condemnation, we ought to all celebrate, we ought to all recite Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Paul tells us why. Because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. He finished the work of salvation on the cross. And then Paul introduces this really important next step, and I would say the final step in the restoration and repair process. Church, what I'm about to give you today, and I want to set the expectation high because it needs to be set high, what I'm about to give you today is the key to living out what Jesus said is available for the believer. Life in abundance. If you get what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, I believe life in abundance becomes the reality of the believer. Right? And it's not a one-time thing, it's an ongoing journey. But follow Paul's logic. You are not condemned, but rather God has given you his Holy Spirit that lives within you, that gives you a new nature, a new identity. And the Spirit of God enables the believer to do something that the believer could not do before he met Jesus. What Paul says is available now for the believer is not just the ability to know fully right from wrong. That was chapter 7, remember? Those things I want to do, I don't do. Those things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. That's Romans 7. Paul says it's not just that we now have a real understanding of right and wrong. Paul says now we can begin to operate in the rightness. How? He gives us a picture. And he says in Romans chapter 8 that after he says we're not condemned, he said that in Christ we have the ability to set our minds either on the old nature, the sinful nature, or on the new nature, which is the Spirit living within us. All right, what I've seen in my personal life and what I've observed in the life of believers who come to me and said, hey, I'm trying to figure this thing out, this whole Christianity thing out. The thing I've observed many times is that Christians find themselves in this chapter 7 state. Matt, I know I shouldn't do it, but I find myself doing it. I mean, I'm just in turmoil here. And remember last week, the answer is, well, that's great. I'm so glad that you're aware now of this. What a great answer. But oftentimes we stay there and we miss the next benefit. What's the next part? The next part of the Christian journey in being restored in Christ is that you actually have the opportunity to have a mind that is set on the Spirit. What does that mean? It means that in Christ, we don't just have the awareness of right and wrong, but rather we have the ability to train our thoughts and focus our thoughts on the Spirit. Why is that important? Because for the believer, if my mind is set again on the sinful nature, I will begin to do things that are in the pattern of death, which the sin nature is. But if I can fix my mind on the Spirit and be led by the Spirit, then I'm led into life and peace. All right. One of the things I struggled with growing up, and I have to be reminded of this on a regular basis. I have believed for a while, and I have to be reminded of this reality, that my brain, in the chemistry makeup of my brain, is actually not the final authority on what I choose or what I do in my life. For most of my existence as a Christian, I thought that, you know, here comes temptation again, and I can't, you know, I'm really struggling with temptation, and so, you know, my brain wants to do it, and so therefore, you know, it's just the chemistry in motion. I just do what it says I should do. And by the way, that's basically what addiction is, right? It's just, here's the temptation, and so here's the action, and over and over and over again. We went to Catalyst. It's a conference for leaders in the church. And at this conference, one of the speakers had spent years and years and years studying the brain. And one of the things this speaker said that was a great reminder of for me was that my brain is actually controlled by a higher authority in life. That I'm not just this chemistry in motion in my brain, you know, all the, you know, thoughts just running back and forth, but rather that my mind can control what my brain thinks about, what my brain says to my body to do. The mind is a higher authority than the brain. This was so refreshing to hear. In other words, you have the ability to turn on and off what your brain focuses on. So when you feel like, you know, hey, I'm just a guy and, you know, I'm drawn to look at females and I'm drawn to, you know, just admire their beauty and attraction because I'm just, you know, chemically made that way, that's not true. you have the ability in your mind to set your mind on the Spirit, not on the flesh. And so when a thought comes into your mind, you're not paralyzed by the thought. You can take captive that thought by setting your mind on the Spirit. So you have a higher authority, a higher level of control other than just the chemical makeup. And there's scientific research to back this up. It's not just a great biblical principle. It's scientifically proven and researched. And so this is a really cool thought. You have the decision to set your mind on what you want to set your mind on. All right, this is very important, but not the end goal. I can tell you today that in my life, and it's probably true in your life, when we talk about a mindset, one of the things that's most evidently different when I set my mind on the sinful nature versus the Spirit is the pace at which I live. One of the key indicators of how I carry out my day-to-day life is the pace I live when I set my mind on the sin nature versus the pace I live when I set my mind on the spiritual, on the Spirit. Let me just play this out in our lives. What I've noticed is when I do life at like Mach 3 speed, and a lot of us do life like this because we have ball games and kids and work and all kinds of crazy things to do. When my mind is set at that pace, I leave no margin for the Spirit to speak into the day-to-day decisions that I make. When I choose to set my mind on the Spirit, though, the pace of my existence slows down. But the most amazing thing about this, church, is that my effectiveness never is compromised. I'm more effective at the pace of the Spirit than I am in the pace of the sinful nature. When we do life in the sinful nature, you know what we do? We make decisions based on impulse. And how many of you know impulsive decisions are most of the time bad decisions? Because we haven't had time to process it. But more than just our ability to like pros and cons out things, the Spirit of God, when we set our mind on that, has the ability in that moment to speak life into the decision, to give us peace about moving forward, or to say, nope, stop, don't, or wait. All right, I'm going to show you how small you can use this on a scale, but I want to use this illustration to help you understand how this can be applied to all of your decisions in life. And you guys are going to think I'm dumb, and that's totally okay with me because I'm just going to tell you this anyway. I think I'm a Pepsi addict, I think. I'm on the borderline of being addicted to Pepsi. I'm not sure if I'm all the way there, but close. I have a headache when I don't drink Pepsi, so whatever that means, all right, that I'm there. And I have found myself every single meal wanting to drink Pepsi, like every meal. And it's like a struggle within me to not go get a Pepsi. And so what I found is, and you're going to think you already said this, but you're going to think it's crazy. But what I do before I go and get a Pepsi is I actually stop for a moment and say, is this a good decision? And I let the Holy Spirit speak to me about whether or not I should get a Pepsi. And you're like, Matt, come on. That is ridiculous. It's a Pepsi. Drink the Pepsi if you want a Pepsi, right? Well, I try to wait and see if it's a good decision, right? And so we have a pop machine in our cafe, and during the week, it's the ice. Oh my gosh, cafe ice, little like song. It's amazing. And the way that we mix the pop here, the Pepsi, you may not like it, but it's my favorite mix. That's why it's mixed that way, by the way. You didn't know that, but now you do. And so I just love it, right? And so truly, before I walk out of my office, I'll say, all right, good idea or not, and I'll stop. Sometimes I go get a water instead. Now, you would say, do you really make those decisions based at that level? The answer is yes. But I don't just do it with Pepsi. I try to do this in every area of my life. I try to leave enough time in my life for the Holy Spirit to say, yes, go, do, or no, or wait. You would be amazed the difference it makes in your life when you give the Holy Spirit a chance to speak into the day-to-day activity of your life. So let's slow down a step and leave room for the Spirit, because the Spirit brings life and peace. It's a great, great, great benefit of our identity in Christ. And so Paul says, when we slow down and when our minds are set on the Spirit, what begins to happen is the Spirit has an incredible opportunity to work within us. What are the workings of the Holy Spirit within us, as Paul continues in chapter 8? Well, Paul says that once our minds are set on the Spirit, what happens is, and he uses suffering and difficult circumstances to really help us understand one of the great benefits of the Spirit, Paul goes in to talk about this reality, that in the Spirit, when our minds are set on that, he says later in the text that we have the ability to cry out, Abba, Father. This is a great, great, great verse in Romans chapter 8. What Paul is saying is when our minds are set on the Spirit and difficulties come into our life, we have the ability to cry out to a Father that's very, very aware of what's going on in the day-to-day moments of our lives. I think Paul uses this phrase, Abba Father, to connect us back to the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus is praying and about to face one of his most difficult moments in his existence, Jesus cries out in the garden as he's dripping sweat, as blood flowing from his body, he cries out, Abba Father. Abba is the Aramaic word translated into English father, and the Greek word translated here is father as well. It's the Aramaic and the Greek coming together. It's Jesus using his native tongue in Aramaic and the common language of the day, Abba, Father. What's the point? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane understood that it was the Father who was mindful of what was going on in his life, and he cries out in prayer for the Father to work. And what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8 is that the Spirit in our difficulties wells up within us the ability to cry out to a Father who loves us and who understands what's going on in our lives. It's a great benefit of the Spirit. Now, he doesn't leave us there. Paul says, as a matter of fact, when we cry out to the Father, something very interesting happens. And he goes on in the text to say that, and he uses great imagery here, but he says that I consider that our present sufferings cannot compare to the future glory that will be revealed to us in Christ. Now, it seems like a harsh transition in the text, but it's not. What Paul's saying is that as we cry out to the Father in our distress, the Father comes alongside of us in the Spirit to do something very amazing within us. Paul says, in suffering, the whole universe groans. It's waiting for its liberation from this bondage of death that sin brought us. And it's not just all of creation that groans, but it's our own selves that groan. We're waiting our adoption, the liberation of our bodies from our own body of death, right? So it almost seems like where'd the Spirit go in this? But Paul connects us back to the role of the Spirit in our life. For a moment, let me just illustrate this. I'm 37. Yesterday, I was getting ready to go coach my son Graham's baseball team where the Raptors, our colors are black and green. And they are black and green in part because daddy's the coach and I pick black and green, Solace Church. Thank you very much. And I was getting ready to go coach the Raptors and all of a sudden I felt a pain in my shoulder and arm and a little bit in my neck. It was exactly the same kind of feeling that I felt a couple of months ago when I had this spontaneous pneumothorax, when the hole just popped suddenly in my lung and my lung deflated and I had to go spend 7 days in the hospital. And I was thinking, not again. It's Saturday. The last time it happened on Saturday, I was so frustrated. I went and coached for a little bit. I was really out of breath. And I thought, oh my gosh, here we go again. And so in the second or third inning, I left the game. My wife took me to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, I was very frustrated. If you've ever had a reoccurring illness or sickness, you know how just it can wear on you. And I thought, oh my gosh, God, not again. And I just remember thinking this, I'm 37 years old. I mean, I'm 37 going on 65 with my lungs right now. I mean, like, what is the deal? And I was very frustrated. I remember, in some respect, groaning, right? Well, what I couldn't have appreciated without Romans chapter 8 is that in my groanings for liberation from this body, Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit groans on our behalf, making intercession before the Father for us. Why is that so important? Because one of the great benefits of being in Christ and the Spirit-led life is the Spirit knows how to pray before the Father words that you could never come up with. And so in your inability to pray, the Spirit who lives within you, who your mind is set on, calls out your case before the Father. He groans on your behalf. This is incredible that this is your reality and my reality in Christ. And what Scripture says and what Paul says is God knows the heart and mind of the Spirit, and God knows, and the Spirit knows the heart and mind of the God, and these two people come together, the Father and the Father and the Spirit, two parts in the Trinity, and they are working collectively to carry out his good purpose in your life. Isn't that good? I mean, that's the heart of the Spirit of God within us. That is your identity and your benefit in Christ. Now, I don't know, church, today exactly what happened, but from the hospital or from the ball field to the hospital, I prayed. And basically my prayer was something like this. God, I don't know how to pray, but today, and by the way, I've been raised Baptist, Free Will Baptist, that's my heritage, and I'm not even sure you can pray this way with a Baptist heritage, but I said to God, I'm standing against this sickness in my life. I don't know if you can do that or not, but I did it, and I just was weird about it, but I said, I don't know for sure. But I'm doing this today, and by the time I got to the hospital, church, they ran the test, did all the diagnostics, and there was nothing wrong with me. I left completely healed from the hospital, and so I celebrate that today. The Spirit of God living in my behalf. I'm thankful for that. So, this is incredible truth. Now, Paul brings this to a head. Because of this, in light of this, what is the truth about us? Well, Paul gives us an incredible verse to hold on to. It's a verse that's often misunderstood, but in light of what we just said, it makes perfect sense. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and following. Notice what Paul says about your truth, my truth in Christ. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now that verse makes sense to me. It's not just some random verse out there that God's trying to figure out how to do something in my life, but it's connected to the role of the Spirit within me, that the Spirit makes intercession on my behalf. Therefore, God is able to work in me to accomplish an incredible thing, right? Verse number 29, he goes on to say this, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. He goes on to say in verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. Verse 31, what then shall we say? What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Church, notice what Paul says, and I don't have time to unpack the theology. That's why you need to come back when I preach Romans chapter 9. I'll tie in these verses. But here's what you need to know today. Paul says we know God works for the good for those who are called according to his purpose and who love him. All right? How can we know for certain that that's the case? Well, because we have the Spirit, but there's more. The reason why we can have confidence that God works everything out for our good is because those who God foreknew, he predestined, and he predestined them and ultimately brought them to a place of being glorified. What's Paul saying in the text? The reason we can know that God always works on our behalf is because God finished the work of salvation already in us. There's nothing left to do in salvation. He foreknew and he glorified the whole process in us, right? If he's done that already, he's not leaving. If he's worked that much in our life, he is faithful to complete the work unto the day of Christ's return. And so that's why Paul says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? If he's done all that already, then what could stand against the believer? Verse number 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all things, everything that we need for life and godliness? That's what Paul says in another verse, verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies, verse 34. Who is he that condemns? The only one that could condemn us is Christ. But therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. What? Are you telling me that the Spirit who lives within me is making intercessions on my behalf and praying words that I cannot pray? And then the third person of the Trinity, actually the second person of the Trinity, Jesus himself, is at the right hand of the Father? The one who could condemn you because of our sin, he's the one making intercession for you? What? Oh, church, come on, man. All three parts of the Trinity working on your behalf. That's why God says that he works everything out for the good. That's why Paul can say that. But it even gets better than that. Verse 35, he goes on to say this. Who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Paul basically lists out every single problem a person could possibly have. Can any of that ever separate us from the love of God? Verse 36. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all of these things we have the victory over them because of what the Spirit and what Christ does on our behalf. Verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, verse 39, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, church, he's finished the work within us. And on this Father's Day, you need to know that our Heavenly Father loves us with a complete, unconditional love, and it is found in the person and work of Christ. He's not leaving. You are in him, and he is in you, and the work of God will be completed when we set our minds and focus on the work of the Spirit within us. This morning and yesterday, as I was considering why I went through what I went through yesterday, and this morning as I was here before service began at our 9:15 service, I felt a very real heaviness. I felt it yesterday. I felt it this morning when I walked in the building. And so here's what I said. I said, God, today I sense a very real spiritual warfare that exists in this building today. And I'm going to tell you something right now, church. The 11 o'clock service, I didn't sense it. I felt a great liberation. And that is great and awesome. And I can even sense it right now. But I want you to know this. I believe with certainty that there is a very real adversary, an enemy, that is trying to steal our identity. And there may be some people in the room today, you've been thinking less than, or you've been feeling less than what God has for you. And I want you to embrace this today, that Romans chapter 8 is the great hope of the life of the believer. And this morning, if you've walked in this building and you felt discouraged or defeated, I want to just champion Romans 8. You are more than conquerors through Christ. And I want to pray with you today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solidchurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solidchurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.